Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, May 13th, 2020. And this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter of Vision for You. We are on page 56. We're reading paragraph 4, which begins with, "She replied, yes." Today's readers are Santa H. for the 12 steps, Martha M. for the 12 traditions, Leslie M., Dion R., and Eileen M. Kara L. will introduce, welcome newcomers, and get your numbers if you'd like outreach calls, and also get the numbers from available sponsors at the end of the meeting. And then Robin P. will finish this up with some important announcements. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 14606. That's 14,606. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, May 13th, is 14616. That's 14,616. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Santa H. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, family. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater living in the solution one day at a time. And here are the steps we took. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you, and have a marvelous day.
Thank you, Santa H. You too. I will now ask Martha M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Elaine. Thanks for your service. My name is Martha M. from Connecticut. I'm a recovered anorexic, bulimic, and compulsive overeater. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Have a great day, and I pass.
Thank you. You have a great day too, Martha M. Okay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. And although we value your experience, we ask you to limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience too. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter of Vision for You, and we are on page 56. We're going to read and comment on the fourth paragraph, and I will ask Leslie M. to please begin reading.
Good morning. Thank you, Elaine, for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. She replied, yes, we've got a corker. He just beaten up a couple of nurses. Goes off his head completely when he's drinking. But he's a grand chap when he's sober, though he's been in here 8 times in the last 6 months. Understand he was once a well-known lawyer in town, but just now we've got him strapped down tight. And there is a footnote here that says, this refers to Bill and Dr. Bob's first visit to AA number 3. See the Pioneer section. And this resulted in AA's first group at Akron, Ohio in 1935. You know, it's funny. I was listening to the earlier meeting and I got interested in looking up the definition of a corker. And it says someone or something that is excellent, remarkable, surprising, or bewildering. And the word that stuck with me in that is bewildering, you know, because the nurse goes on to say is he's just beaten up a couple of nurses, goes off his head completely when he's drinking, but he's a grand chap when he's sober. And I can relate to that so much. When I was abstinent, even if I was white knuckling it, I was a totally different person. You know, if I wasn't in the food, when I was in the food, I was talking to someone I sponsored the other day and I said, you know, I was just horrible. I was horrible because I always blamed all my problems on everyone else. Well, it was their fault that I did this and it was their fault that I did that. I never took any responsibility for anything. And honestly, with the food in my system, I couldn't see that I was the problem. you know? Now I know for today that if I'm not the problem, there is no solution. So I have to make sure that I hang on to the fact that, you know, the things that happen to me in my life are of my own making, that I'm my biggest problem. I often ask my higher power to just keep me out of his way on a daily basis so that I can learn his will and I can act, you know, as a recovered person today. You know, and I know that, you know, my life was crazy. My life was crazy when I was in the food and even sometimes when I was abstinent, but not recovered. And so this recovery is a very precious thing to me. And I'm grateful to have it for today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Leslie, for getting started here. That's awesome. Okay. So again, as though we value your experience, we ask you to limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So we'll open the line for shares. Who would be interested in commenting on the fourth paragraph on page 156?
Eileen
M.
I heard Eileen M, and that's all I heard.
Shlomit Hannah B.
I heard Shlomit Hannah
B.
And Irene B.
Deb E.
Deb E. Two more. I got Eileen M, Shlomit Hannah B, Irene B, Deb E, and I have room for two more.
Kathy Jo P.
Kathy Jo P. And
John
anybody
K.
else want? John K. What's that? All right.
John
Great.
K.
Great. Excellent. Okay, so here's the lineup. Eileen M., Shlomit Hannah B., Irene B., Deb E., Kathy Jo P., and John K. Woohoo, let's go. We're starting out with Eileen M., and you'll be followed by Shlomit Hannah B.
Hi, good morning. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire, and so grateful to be on this line and to be reading this. And at first, when I read this, I didn't really think I had anything that I could relate to, but you know, I'm looking at where it says, but he's a grand chap when he's sober. And I remember I could be really charming, and you know, even if I was in the food, I could be charming to people, but then you know, I would I had no way of reacting to life in a healthy manner, because I just, you know, simply didn't know until I did this work. And, you know, I didn't know that I was part of the problem, as was mentioned earlier. I didn't know that my character defects caused my problems, or, you know, even if there were problems I didn't cause, I didn't know that my way of living aggravated the problems. I had no idea. I was really blind about that. And, you know, I also had periods of white-knuckled abstinence with chronically going back to excess food for ease and comfort because, like I said, I just didn't know another way of living. And that's how I can relate to this. I don't really know what goes off his head means, but I can imagine if he's beaten up a couple people. And, you know, for me, I never beat up anybody physically, but I certainly beat up people verbally. And, you know, they didn't deserve that. And that's something that has been, you know, is something I can, you know, go to my higher power for help, because I now am living in the steps and I have a solution of how to deal with these things. So really grateful to be reading this, and thanks so much. I pass.
Thank you very much, Eileen M. Shlomit Hannah B., you are up next, followed by Irene B. Please go ahead, Irene. I mean, Shlomit Hannah.
Hi, thank you so much for your service. This is Shlomit Hannah, and I'm so grateful to be on this meeting and to be able to share. And I love that paragraph, and I love the term, he's a corker. There's a lot that really struck me in that paragraph. First of all, just, you know, talking about the difference, you know, between his personality, that, you know, that he's absolutely crazy when he drinks, but when he's not drinking, he's a pretty nice chap. It reminds me of, it's either in There Is a Solution or More About Alcoholism, where it talks about the alcoholic being a real Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. you know, and I definitely found that to be true for myself. Also, it struck me that this guy had been in the hospital, I believe, 8 times, it said, just in and out and in and out and in and out, you know, trying and trying and relapsing and trying and relapsing. And, you know, not too long ago, I was deep in relapse. And I was going in and out and in and out and in and out and, you know, trying to get recovery and trying to do program and trying to go back on my food plan and trying to work with a sponsor. And then when that didn't work, I tried intuitive eating. And then I tried to be a moderate eater and I tried to do 301 and I tried to just, you know, do whatever. And none of it worked. And I was like that guy. I'd get on the wagon for maybe a day. I think the most time I had was 3 weeks. And then I'd fall off again and end up not in the hospital, thank God, but end up back in relapse. And I would turn into a Dr. Jekyll and a Mr. Hyde. And I can definitely tell you, you know, one of the things that brought me back to program was remembering the serenity that I had when I was sober and recovered. And when I finally got to the bottom of the barrel and I was just in such hell, what came into my mind was, I want my program back. I want that serenity. I want to have that life again. And that's what drove me here. That's what drove me back, because I was very tired of being in and out and in and out and in relapse and trying this and trying that and being a Mr. Hyde. You know, I knew that I you know, thank God I didn't beat anybody up. Maybe not physically, but you know what? I did spiritually and with my words. I was very tough on my kids. Not my husband, and, you know, with the lockdown now, thank you. I can't imagine how I would be if I didn't have recovery. So I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. The past.
Thank you, too, Shlomit Hannah. I agree completely. How could we do this without this meeting? Irene B., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Deb E. Please go ahead, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., gratefully recovered bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I didn't think I had anything to share because I don't know why. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, I've got to share. I have got to. The corker. I am the corker. 8 treatment centers? Really? Well, gee whiz, I went to 4 inpatient treatment centers, 4 outpatient treatment centers. I was the corker. I was the one on the binge, on my way out, on my way home from a treatment center. I was the one without hope. I was out of options. $1 million worth of therapy. You guys are tired of hearing me say that. But I just cannot comprehend that after 40 years of bondage to bulimia, compulsive overeater from age 6, bulimic at age 18, and then God at age 58, after 40 years of bondage, the corker, in and out of treatment centers, yes, mental institutions, time and again, and it didn't work. And I was told that OA was not for bulimics. But I heard that this program called AA was helpful to alcoholics, and oh, how I wanted something like that for me. And then by the grace of God, he put a family member in my home that was dying of addiction, and I don't know how intuitively the Holy Spirit just led me. The Holy Spirit showed me that he needed to know God, and I was trying to figure out what this 12-step program was and trying to learn it so I could help him. and I didn't understand it, and it didn't make any sense. And God is so gracious and full of sense of humor that because of my nephew, I was led to an AA church member who I ran into as I took my nephew to one of his AA meetings at 6 o'clock in the morning before taking him to work. Because I had to take him to and from work. I had to take him to and from meetings so that he could recover. And guess what? During this period that I was working so hard on his recovery, guess who was recovering? I say that I never had back-to-back sobriety, but I forgot that during this period, I was abstinent because I was helping my nephew, my family member, excuse me. So here I am, the corker, and by the grace of God, I came to this program and to Vision, and I learned about the big book, and now I am blessed beyond measure that there is a solution, and it's right here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene B. Debbie, you're up next, followed by Kathy Jo P.
Good morning. I'm Debbie in Southern California, recovered. What stood out to me in this paragraph is all the excuses. You know, they use the word but twice, and they use though also. It's like he's beaten up a couple of nurses, which is pretty bad, but, you know, he's a nice guy. He was a well-known lawyer, but now he has to be strapped down. Like, it's so bad that we have to strap him down. And it makes me think of all the excuses I had for my behavior when I was in my addiction. It's like, but that was someone else. That wasn't really me. That wasn't me. That wasn't the real me. And this program's taught me that I must take responsibility for all my actions, everything I've done. That was me. I don't like to admit it, but that was me. Just because I don't behave in that way today, just because I have a program to guide me and I have a connection to a higher power that leads me to better decisions and better actions, I can't just use the excuse that, oh, that was somebody else. You know, and it's taken a lot of time and a lot of years of four steps and some outside help to realize the gravity of my actions when I was in the food. And I'm not talking about just like what I did with food. Way worse than what I did with food is how I behaved and how I treated people. And all that has become much more clear more recently. And, you know, it also makes me think of this, like the way I used to think to myself, like, oh, everything is great. Everything's perfect. It's just this little problem I have with food. Thank you for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very, very much, Deb E. And Kathy Jo P., you're up next, followed by John K.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater from Minneapolis. And I was in the rooms in the 80s. I left for 22 years. And during that time, I was not interested in being wrong. And I often felt like I was being mistreated in the world by everyone. And I also, like, literally had a nickname for myself that was misunderstood, M-I-S-S space understood. I literally would use that because I thought, you know, my intentions are good, but everybody's misunderstanding me all the time. And when I came back to the rooms 8 years ago, one of the very first things I heard, and for some wonderful reason, it spoke to me. It was a nugget that went in, not completely swallowed and, you know, starting to live that, but I heard it, was only to the extent that I can be wrong can I be free. And I really believe that is a nugget that I swallow every day and I learn more and more every day. I really believe I no longer have a bitch list of why, you know, everyone else is bad and I'm good. But I think I get sidetracked every once in a while and I'm like, why is my husband acting like that? And then later, I definitely find out that, indeed, I got the ball rolling once again. I stepped on the toes of my fellows. And what is so free about saying only to the extent that I can be wrong is that I can be free is to know that it's me and my God that can work on this together, and I don't have to focus on others in order to be happy and to be free. And that just gives me so much peace and hope and possibility. I hate to admit it, but even though I often, you know, I do my 10 steps, every once in a while I am slow to do those amends, especially with my family. But I always do them, even though I'm slow. And sometimes I have to send a note to some of you, I'm doing my amend tonight with my husband. And the last thing I'm going to share, because it's such a wonderful memory, is sitting in the chair of my hairstylist about a year and a half ago after seeing her for 10 years. And she said, what's going on with you and Jerry? You don't complain about him much these days. And I realized that I used to sit in that chair and tell her everything wrong with my husband. And isn't it wonderful that that's no longer my story as I walk this journey? And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathy Chilty. I love to see that evidence of recovery happening with us. Thank you. And so John Kay is up next. And after John Kay, we will take a new lineup of people who are interested in commenting on page 56, paragraph 4, which begins with, she replied yes. So John Kay, please go ahead.
Thank you, Elaine. My name is John Kay. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey, and I'm a little nervous. This is my first time in this meeting. It's my first time, you know, with you, but I can feel the love of my OA family coming through no matter where we are. My home group is a big book meeting that meets in Belleville, New Jersey on a Sunday morning. And we haven't had that because New Jersey and everywhere is just shut down with this pandemic. But I'm in love with this program, and I just know that I need more help. And it's so apropos that, you know, we're talking about Bill D, the man on the bed, and I've been feeling like the man on the bed lately. I have, a severe food addiction, and I've always had it. My mother was a great upstanding member of OA for many years, until the day she died, actually. And she used to say things like, you know, John, sometimes the only solution to a problem is a spiritual solution. And she knew that, you know, food was just a symptom. And I know that for sure today. And so I'm guided to seek help. And I know that my prayers led me to this meeting to seek help and to learn, because I've been around for a while. I've been, thank God, abstinent for a while, but I still suffer sometimes because I'm not content with how God is handling my problems. but I love that this is talking about Bill and Bob getting active, spiritually active. And knowing that they can't proceed without helping others. And so I seek to help, but I really need some help right now. So I'm kind of reaching out and running through some problems of my own. And I'm hoping that, you know, God guiding me to this meeting is going to, you know, provide me some good direction. And I know my sponsor told me, John, you got to get off your ass and get to some more meetings. So here I am. And with that, I'm going to shut up and listen. Thank you.
Thanks so much, John Kay. Stay on the line. We have a newcomer greeter. We'll be able to take your number and you'll get some more outreach calls. So, okay. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to comment on that
fourth paragraph on page 156.
Erica T.
Robin Joe B.
Erica
Danielle
T.
J.
Robin Joe B. Danielle J. Anybody else? I'm amazed I got those three. Yay.
Joni.
I'm sorry, who is that?
Joni C.
Joni C. Got room for two more, I think. Okay, I've got Erica. Sherry Jo P. Okay, I've got Erica T, Robin Joe B, Daniela didn't get your last initial, Joni C, and Sherry Joe P. And I do believe we should have time for one more. Somebody else would like to get in the lineup.
Robin P.
Margot P.
Okay, I'll write you down, Margot P, in case we have some short shares.
Michael M.
Oh, I definitely have more than we can take right now. So thank you so much. I have Erica T, Robin Joe B, Danielle, I need your last initial with you share, Joni C, Sherry Joe P, and Robin P, and if there's time, Margot P. I think I got everybody right. Forgive me if I didn't. You can correct me when you cut, when it's your turn to share. So we'll start out with Erica T. Please go ahead, Erica.
Hi, this is Erica T from Northern California. Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound great.
Okay, excellent. In first reading this paragraph, I was like, can I really relate to this? And this is what I love about coming to this meeting is that even at first when it might seem like I'm not sure if I relate, was I really like that, then I start to realize that I was. And this is what helps me really get honest about what the compulsive overeating has done in my life. And there are two pieces I relate to. One is, the continually in and out of recovery. Not that I was ever in and out of treatment centers, but just, that back and forth with the eating, being like, okay, I'm abstinent, and then I'm not, and then I am, and then I'm not. And how disheartening that can be, just the desperation that comes from that, the shame that builds up. It's like, why can't I do this? Why does food have this grip on me? And that piece I really relate to. And it's important for me to remember how desperate I am when I'm in and out of the food like that, because if I don't remember, then that's when I start to go back again. So I'm so grateful for my recovery and my abstinence, and so grateful that I don't have to be in that desperation anymore. And the other part that it seems like maybe I wouldn't relate, because he talks about this guy being violent when he's drinking, but I do relate to the personality change. And for me, it's the opposite. I go completely into myself and I isolate from other people. I have no motivation. Like when I was eating, I could barely make it through my work day. It's like I could summon up just enough motivation to do what I absolutely had to do for work. I'm barely making enough money to support myself when I'm in that space. And so it's like the being in the food, it takes away my energy, my motivation. It takes away my ability to focus. When I'm abstinent, I have energy to do things. I'm creative and I'm excited to do more creative things that bring more income into my life because I'm self-employed. So that is essential for me. I'm not going to be able to support myself in this in the type of work that I do and being self-employed unless I can be in that creative energy and have that motivation to do things when there's not, someone looking right over my shoulder. And so I'm really grateful for these meetings because this situation that we're in could be very triggering for me because of my tendency to self-isolate. Thank you. So I'm really glad to be here with all of you this morning, and I'm glad for this paragraph. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Erica T. Dan, Robin Joe B., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Danielle. Please go ahead, Robin Joe.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Elaine B. Robin Jo B. from Missouri, and I haven't shared for a long time, but I'm pretty much always here. I love the meetings, and I need them. I wanted to talk on this because Corker, you know, to me, Corker is kind of a sweet name. It's kind of a little, you know, little pet name, term of endearment, you know. I definitely was a corker, but I think my corker, it was not that nice of a name. And it's just, the reason is, and I think for this man, this alcoholic that just kept coming back and back, you know, it's really hard to like yourself when you're not in control of yourself. And if you don't like yourself, you can't believe anybody else likes you or loves you, or you know, you can't believe that God loves you. I know that coming into program, I didn't feel like there was anybody in the world that really loved me. And when I did my first inventory, I realized that honestly, I was the only one in the whole world that really did hate me. I couldn't really think of anybody else that really hated me. I had bullies when I was a kid, and my family members teased me and tormented me, you know, but nobody hated me. And I think I really feel sorry for this man in the bed, because I think that was his problem, you know, just never being able to have any respect and love and care for himself. And one of the first things I learned at my very first meeting was, it's none of my business what other people think of me. And that was so huge. And, you know, I still didn't like myself, but at least I didn't have to care if other people didn't like me. And I was already a Christian, but I come to really believe that God really did love me. He really did love me. And there was nothing that I had to do to make him love me more, and there was nothing I could do to make him love me less. And so that's when the healing started. And without these steps and going through this, I would have went to my grave really believing that everybody hated me and it was all their fault. And now I can own my junk, and I can deal with it, and I don't have to eat over it. And I love you all, and I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin Jo B. Danielle, you're up next. May we have the first initial of your last name, and you'll be followed by Joni C.
Yes, thank you so much for your service. Danielle J. Danielle J. from Bellevue, Washington. Thank you so much for your service and everyone on the line. So at first I thought Corker, that doesn't apply to me. But then I remembered that there was violence, and that although I didn't finish it, I would sometimes start it. And I would pick fights with the wrong people. You know, it's like, don't pick fights with people bigger than you. And so there were bruises. And unfortunately, two of those happened in front of my daughter, which she remembers when she was young. So, you know, is awful and tragic and every other word in that genre that you can think of. That was, as I was just thinking this morning, it also made it impossible for me to forget. So, and you know, without that, I might have just left that right under the rug, and you know, forgot that happened. But having her remember it, and once in Hawaii, I dumped a this speaks to compulsive overeating. We came from a fast food restaurant, and I had a large binge item, which I proceeded to dump right in my husband's lap as he was driving. So, of course, he flew out of the car and, grabbed me by the neck, And then, you know, my daughter's screaming and a stranger comes and says, what are you doing to your child? Anyway, long story short, and this morning I was reading in some program literature about immaturity and maturity, and that was one of my hugest problems, was just plain immaturity and being that young child that was trying to defend herself. But you know what? She wasn't young anymore. She was in her 40s and she was a mom and she was a wife and she had no business acting that way. So anyway, I wish I had a burning bush, but it was more like little embers and I would snuff those things out. But luckily I have a God and a higher power that kept, you know, letting those burn again. So here I am. It's been a slow ride. It's been a lot of work and I'm still working. I'm still working, but I'm here. So thanks so everyone for being a part of my recovery, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Daniel J. Joni C., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Sherry Jo P. And please go ahead, Joni.
This is Joni C. from small town Madison, Minnesota, gratefully recovered, newly recovered. I always thought that I was a nice person and that I always presented, you know, a good front to people. But that was what it was a front, because inside I was full of resentment and anger and bitterness and hatred and all kinds of icky emotions. And since I've been recovered, what I find is that I'm happy. I'm not ruled by the next bite that I get. I'm not constantly thinking about food. I'm not bitter. I'm not angry. I'm not resentful. And I'm just so, so grateful for this program, in particular Vision for You, because that's what I had been in OA before, and we didn't study the big book. And I didn't even know about the allergy of the body and well, I knew about the obsession of the mind, but I didn't know the allergy of the body. And I'm just so grateful to have that information. And I just am grateful for this paragraph that makes me think back to the way it was. And I'm just grateful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Joni C. Sherry Jo P., you're up next, followed by Robin P.
Thank you so much. It's Sherry Jo C. with a C as in cat.
Sorry yeah. about that.
Thank you. Grateful and recovered in Southern California. Thank you. I had underlined a lot in this little paragraph. There are some parts that relate to me and then maybe a part that doesn't quite so much. But you know, definitely the idea of leading a double life. I appeared one way on the outside. I mean, for me, compulsive eating, there was just so much hiding, the sneaking and the hiding, the lying. Unfortunately, then the weight gain when I was in my binges, then I was really leading the double life because I was acting as if I was behaving normally, but then obviously, you know, my body was changing, which that used to just make me crazy because I knew that then everyone else knew. And, that was a tortured feeling living with that and knowing that I couldn't hide everything. But I guess, you know, what I've been thinking about as we've been reading these last few paragraphs, last couple of pages, is, you know, for me, the real transformation happened when I came to OA in 1989 and I got abstinent about 7 months later. And I heard people in my groups talking about continuous uninterrupted abstinence. And some people said that went against the one day at a time approach, but there was something when I heard those people say that everything inside me just took a big, deep, long sigh of relief. And, you know, for me, the transition happened when, you know, in the beginning, I was like, oh my God, can I never have that again? Oh my God, can I never eat that again? And the behavioral part of the addiction. Oh my God, you mean I can never like let the lid off my pressure cooker personality by binging again? Like I can never do that again? And it, I could tell that I was getting better because I started thinking, instead of can I never have that or do that again, I started thinking, oh my God, I'm never going to have to do that again. Like I actually have a plan that's working for me. And I, my very first meeting I went to, I heard a woman say, it was in Royal Oak, Michigan, I heard her say, I haven't had X, Y, and Z for 5 years. And I thought that was great. I heard that and I thought, wow, that's okay, that's an awesome track record. But the part that blew me away was she said, and I don't even want it anymore. And that was the part that really hooked me. And that's what I wanted. The part in this chapter, this paragraph I don't relate to quite so much as it said, but he's a grand chap when he's sober. I don't think I was a grand chap when I was, even when I mean, I wasn't abstinent. I was just not acting on my, you know, I just wasn't eating out of control at that moment. I remember when I did come into the program and I had some abstinence under my belt, probably about 6 months or so, I worked
just
in a big I worked in a big ad agency, and I remember one of my coworkers looking at me and saying, you're different. And he knew what she was really saying was, you used to be a jerk. And so I'm grateful for the transformation that this program and particularly this line has brought about for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sherry Josie. And Robin P., you will be off our final share for today. Please go ahead, Robin.
Thanks, Lane. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And so grateful to, for this meeting, for everyone who puts it together. God bless you all. Gosh, you're like angels. Oh, my dog is a compulsive overeater, and she keeps barking for more food. She's had enough. So sorry about that. Hope. So I just wanted to say that I went through so many iterations of trying to get abstinent and just not knowing why it wasn't working and why I wasn't working and feeling like such a failure when I first came into the program. Over and over and over again, I felt so much like that third guy and I just couldn't get it. And then I got abstinent for 2.5 years and I lost it again. And I went out of the program and didn't return until I came into these phone meetings 4 years ago. Thank God, one day at a time. And I think the key message for me was to never give up and to just keep doing the next right thing. And I'm so grateful for my abstinence today. I'm a vegan. I'm a very conscious vegan. I love animals too much to hurt them, and I feel very passionately about that for myself. And there's a whole group of us that I found here in these meetings, and I'm not alone, and I'm not alone in my food choices. And all of it's a miracle from God. I have support today in being who I want to be, and that is a dream come true. God bless all of you and your abstinence. I pray that we all have a very abstinent, blessed day. Thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much. Excuse me, Robin T. And Margot P., that was a quick share. If you'd like to take just like a 1.5 minute share, you'd be welcome to. Margot P.?
Thank you. My name is Margot P., grateful to be on this call. I have not been on this call for a while, but I've been listening. So for today, hearing that paragraph, I remember how I was out there with the addiction of this food, how it drove me to sanity in this functional way of acting out with my children. And this disease almost, if I don't continue, if I don't get into the program, I will lose my children. I will lose myself completely. Who knows where would I be? And today I have a sponsor, and I'm still working with my sponsor. Still have abstinence with my food plan. I am so grateful, you know. And I have one, I relate to what the bill. I can relate. It's like Holly kept saying, put the food down. And I kept hearing that all the time when I went to the convention, put the food down. And that it keeps hearing in my mind when the dish kicks in my head and say, oh, go eat this, go eat that. And Harlan's mind tells me, put the food down, put the addiction down. And I'm so grateful to hear that, you know, because this is a program of fellowship, and this is a program of recovery, and this is a program of healing. And for me, that is what it is for today. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Margot P. and everybody who has shared today. Really appreciate it. We're going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dion R. please read a vision for you?
Yes. Hi, this is Dion R. Recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if our own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. And I'll pass it.